tonight. Wednesday evening, 1:26:22. We're going to do something different tonight. We're going to, the title is Following the Inward Witness. First scripture, Numbers chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse 17. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. All right. The cloud was how, when they came out of Egypt, God led the children of Israel. So when the cloud stayed, they stayed. When the cloud moved, they moved. To me, this is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit's leading for us today. All right? The Old Testament, God had to do outward signs to lead his people. They were spiritually dead. Jesus hadn't come yet. So this is everything they did was outward. All right? Today, however, we walk by the inward witness. This is Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If the Spirit doesn't lead, I guess you're not a son of God, right? Jesus changed all the outward works of man. His Spirit now lives inside of us, and we cannot resort to Old Testament ways to follow him. Here's another example of how they heard from God under the Old Covenant, Judges chapter 6. Starting with verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel, verse 36, by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, by this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Sounds like a magician's trick, doesn't it? When I say to you today that if you look for signs, try to get your help from God, you will probably be fleeced. You know what being fleeced is? Robbed. In essence, Rod, I got to thinking, I keep getting a picture in my mind of a sheep that's just had all his wool cut off. They're the most pitiful looking things. All right, that means you're going to get stolen from if you try to use Old Testament ways to get God to answer you or to give you guidance or however. It's a big thing today. Christians are getting so mixed up of what is God and what is not God and how God moves. Well, he doesn't move this way today. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were always looking for a sign from Jesus to prove who he was. This was his response. This is Matthew 12, 39. Let's look at 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay. Here are some fleecy prayers. These are just some things kind of I was just wrote down kind of the top of my head. I've heard people say things like this, and it just makes me cringe. Oh, Lord, if you want me to work there, then open the door. Oh, Lord, if you want me to do this or that, then have them call me. These seem harmless to most people, but I say to you, they ought to be looking inside and not outside. They're looking for everything on the outside to line up to prove, well, God must be in this. It's just so good. God has to be in it. You're setting yourself up to be fleeced. The devil will accommodate you. Oh, Lord, have 3 red cars drive by my house, and I'll know that you want me to do that. Goes on all the time. Sometimes I hear people's prayers and I just cringe. I'm thinking, no wonder they don't get any help. No wonder that they have the problems that they do because they're praying these kind of prayers. And they believe that this is the way they're supposed to pray. All right. Here's my first suggestion when praying. Ask God for wisdom. This is James 1:5. We'll turn there if you're not familiar. James 1:5 says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I hear all the time, well, the Lord led me to that doctor. Or I just came across that person, and they knew this doctor. Well, you know, I guess it depends on where they are in their faith, but for me today, that's the devil. Yeah. All right. If someone is offering something to you, you ought to be looking inside for that witness of the Spirit. Pretty well every one of our, I'd say car deals and house deals, we've always had the witness before we do it. We didn't used to, but we have for a long time. If it's not there, don't do it. Never let your need be the deciding factor in what you decide to do. Because, see, the devil will bring pressures against you to try to get you to not listen to this. I always tell people, let peace make the call. If you got peace in here, you can go with it. I remember Brother Hagin talking about the guy that always did stuff in the stock market, and he would go in his closet and pray. Someone would say, you ought to do this. It's a good deal. But he said, if I didn't get the peace here, I didn't do it. And someone might say, well, that's a bad deal, but I had peace inside and I'd do it. He said, I never lost any money. When you learn to live this way and walk this way, listen this way, that will never lead you astray. Never. Okay. Always stay tuned to that inward witness and you will never miss it. It's foolproof. Some of the silliest, gosh-awful prayers have been prayed by Christians. I've heard some of them. Many accept things out of emotions and not getting the inward witness first. It gives them a rush. Oh, yes, I've been waiting for this. But it turns out to not be good later on, all right? When it fails, they say, well, Lord, I thought that you were leading me that way. A lot of times it's just because they're used to walking that way. And that's the way they've done everything else. And so it just, you know, they don't understand. They cannot discern what is the Lord and what's flesh. All right. What you have to ask these people, did you take time to get the green light first? I'd have to say probably no. They let their emotions and things get in the way to sway their decision, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing. All right, Satan accommodates the flesh. His intent is to fleece you. That's his game. That's what he's about. If you hadn't figured that out yet, living in this world, well, I don't know what to say about that. God is never late, but sometimes he will let you wait so he can see if you will truly follow him. Great rewards come for those who wait. And we're going to look at some scriptures. All right, the first one is 1 Samuel 13. All right, verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen of people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded. If he just waited. Samuel did come within the 7 days, but it was like late. All right, now go to 15, chapter 15. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that when Amalek did which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the loin of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed.' Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." You know, anything that we ever do for God, if we're ever going to reach the potential that God has for us, one of the first things we're going to have to learn is that we obey him fully. Now, I know we're in a process where we're coming up higher to where we hear the voice of the Lord more accurately. But you see in these situations, one instance. I mean, he lost the throne. And really, he set his course, and he didn't live much longer after that because of the choices that he made. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Samuel 30. All right, this is verse 6. You know, back at the beginning of our ministry, the Lord spoke to Danny and I both to go learn about David and Saul. And this is what the Lord was saying to us. At the time, we didn't really realize what he was saying, but what he was saying is learning to walk in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh was essential. Right here, 1 Samuel 36, it says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt utterly overtake them, and without fail recover all." 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up hither, he and his wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came there. They anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul." So this was the difference between David and Saul. Okay, now 2 Samuel chapter 5, look at verse 19. Let's look at 17. "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." See, Saul had made the mistake of going to battle, and he should have waited, you know. "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Beth Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou heardest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. What if he had just gone up the second time, thinking, well, the Lord told me to do it that way last time, so I'll do it that way this time. What would have happened? Probably would have gotten ambushed or something bad happened. It's always wise to seek the Lord. Always. All right. Let's keep going here. All right. 2 Samuel 3:1. Wait a minute. We already did that. I think I skipped that one. Oh, no. That's all right. I'm right. I want to read this scripture to you here. This is 2 Samuel 3:1. "There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." Well, what does that say to us? Our battle with the flesh and letting our flesh lead the way is getting less and less. And walking in the Spirit and hearing the voice of the Lord is getting stronger and stronger. Yeah. All right, one other scripture, Numbers 9:8. "And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you." He was one of those that spoke to God face to face. He got instructions on how to lead the children of Israel. God told him everything to do. He did everything that God told him to do, except when he hit the rock twice, and that cost him the promised land. All right, a few more scriptures here. All right, Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It never is a bad thing to wait on the Lord to make sure. To make sure. He wants us to get it right. All right, Psalms 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 34 of that same chapter. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I like that one. All right, Psalm 62. Verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. It never hurts to look to the Lord. I don't care what it is. I remember the time that I was having problems with my tooth, and 2 years went by in pain. I'd been to the dentist so many times, he just knew, you know, just never anything. Just praying about it. Lord, what is this? What is causing this? Until one day I walked in there and the dentist said, I know what your problem is. It was God's wisdom. But I could have pulled it, could have got a root canal, could have done all kinds of things and ruined that tooth or lost that tooth. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It was 2 years. But I'm glad that I waited. Because some things you just can't undo. Once you've done them, you can't undo them. All right, 106:13. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel. All right, Proverbs 20:22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. In other words, you're mad at somebody, and you're going to get them back. Yeah, it's always best to wait. Isn't it a lot easier to not revile back in anger? It's always the best thing to not fly off the handle at someone, because you can't get those words back. And those words plant seeds. And two, they can ruin your witness or help it. All right. Isaiah 40. I'll tell you, this last year, there's so many times I would have liked to have given some people a piece of my mind. We've had so many occasions to do so. But we decided, no, we're not going to do it. We're just going to forgive them and go on. Is it easy? No, it's not. But it's words you don't have to regret that you said, or something that you did that you regret that you did and you wished you hadn't have. All right, Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Well, let's do 29. It's just too good. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no mighty increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, God's way is the road less traveled, like President Trump talks about in that speech. You decide to take the higher road while everybody else is taking the lower road. All right, Lamentations 3, 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Lord, I want to know. I know what I want to do, but I want to hear from you what I ought to do. You'll never lose doing that. Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Chapter 2. Verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. God's going to do what he said he's going to do, whether it seems like a long time or not. I mean, they waited for the proclamation of the Messiah for a long time before he ever came. But did God do it? Yes, he did. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Luke 24. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They had to wait 10 days. Was it 10 days? I don't. Or did I get 10 days? I don't know. All right. When we learn to do this, it will certainly keep us from making mistakes and bring a lot of peace into your life. When you learn to move with the Spirit, you don't get out of that place of proceeding ahead slowly instead of just flying off the handle. All right, a few more scriptures, we'll be done. Galatians 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Yeah. All right, flip back to chapter 4 here. Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and in bondage with her children. See, the flesh, it's bondage. And but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. In other words, there's a lot of messes out there from us just doing our own thing. And you know what? When we give birth to Ishmaels, we got to change them diapers. Now we, brethren, are as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondman and her son, for the son of the bondman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. All right, one more scripture is Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Take the time in whatever decision you make to hear what the Spirit is saying. Get the inward witness. Let peace make the call. And then you can be assured you're going to make the right decision.